It is a terrifying image, is it not? The idea of somebody being stoned in the public square. Sadly, there are places in the world where such things still happen, where people are brutally put to death. And in the ancient world, it was sadly common that women who were caught in adultery or accused of adultery, whether they actually participated in this or not, could be stoned. Therefore, we have a very terrifying scene at the beginning. Those who are in charge of the temple, the Pharisees, the scribes, bring a woman out who they claim has committed the act of adultery and asks if they can stone her. It would be, in my opinion, as shocking and as appalling as if I were to drag somebody in front of all of you this morning and say, I know of this person's sin. What should we do? I hope you would be horrified. I would be horrified. In many ways, they're dehumanizing her to the point where they might as well have just said, Jesus, here's this thing. Here's this object for us to debate about. What should we do with it? Treating her not as a human being, but as simply an object to be scorned. And then one of the most speculated about past parts of Scripture is then discussed. Jesus starts writing on the ground. Now, do we know what Jesus was writing on the ground? No, we don't. There's nothing that gives clarity in terms of what was being written. Some scholars have speculated that maybe he was writing out the sins of all the Pharisees and the scribes on the ground for them to see. Some speculate that maybe he was, as you've seen with traditional depictions of the Ten Commandments, you would write the first Hebrew letter of each commandment that would then symbolize the rest of the commandment, that maybe he was, you know, tracing out the different Hebrew letters that begin the commandments. Maybe he was doodling. We don't know what the Lord was writing. But then as the debate raged on, he stands up and he says one of the most powerful phrases in Scripture, and dare I say for us, one of the most oft-forgotten passages of Scripture. Let you who are without sin cast the first stone. Let you who have not sinned be the first to strike her. What happens then? First, Jesus restores her dignity. He's basically saying, you're no greater than her. You are no greater than she. She is your equal. Treat her as such. And so Jesus says, who of you with us without sin? And then the stones fall. Because, thankfully, they humble their hearts and acknowledge that they have sinned too and have gone away. And then that beautiful passage where, with stones out of hand, with those who were persecuting her gone, you have left Jesus and this woman. The only person who could have condemned her to death, the sinless one. But what does Jesus do? He asks a simple question. Is there anyone here to condemn you? No one, sir. Then the Son of God says, neither do I. Go. Sin no more. These past couple days, and to be quite frank, these past couple weeks, I've been hearing something, a theme that's emerging over and over again. Whether it was the staff gets a kick out of when I call it this, the confession-a-thon that we had over at IC these last couple days. Thanks for keeping us busy. Whether it be just conversations I've had with parishioners in my office, I'm hearing something. Father James, we've been throwing a lot of stones, to use the language of the scriptures. These last few years, we've been experiencing anger and fear and frustration. And even though they don't say these exact words, I hear a lot of people saying, Father, I'm tired of the anger. I'm tired of the division. I'm tired of the hurt. I'm tired of the frustration. It's time to let the stone fall. It's time to experience healing. It's time to move beyond the pain. It's time to move beyond the frustration and to find joy again. Last night to Annie and Thomas, when they exchanged their views at the 5 o'clock Mass, I thank them for the gift to this parish and the guests who came last night, for letting us share in their joy. And I said to them, I don't think the two of you comprehend the healing, the peace, the joy you are bringing to this community and your guests by letting us in this Sunday/Saturday night liturgy share in your joy. A place of no stones, a place of no condemnation, but of celebration. If we remove for a second the image of this woman and place ourselves in that place, we have to remember too, all of us, myself included, have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. But in these times, in these days, when Jesus could look at all of us, myself included, in the face and say to all of us, let those of you who are here at Mass this morning who are without sin cast the first stone at the people that frustrate you or aggravate you or cause division or anger, those that you are scandalized about, what do we do? Do we let the stone fall, or do we let the stone fly? My dear friends, this week, let us truly embrace this passage, not just from the joy that we can feel of we have a merciful Lord, but also with the humble heart to reflect upon our own lives. Lord, thank you for being a merciful Lord. Yes, we all have sinned, but at the same time, do not reduce yourself to a thing or an object, thinking that you're outside of God's mercy, thinking that you are not lovable and that you're not forgivable. That is the spiritual sin of despair. And also don't run to the other extreme of thinking, well, I'm the righteous one, so I will point out the sins of everybody in this community. Those are the ones who held the stones. My dear friends, this week, let us give thanks that the Lord calls us all to mercy, not for us to grovel in our failures, but as this woman experienced, to free us from that which ties us down, to free us from our sins. To put it in another way this week, my dear friends, let the stones fall. Please let us stop letting the stones fly.